In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Last year, the World Economic Forum declared its timely Great Reset. Talking points were distributed among NGO directors, UN and Soros agency representatives, parroting the phrase, build back better. Compared to the old world architecture, have you wondered about the general lack of building back better in our era? Simply put, they can't, according to researchers into the history of Tartaria, a massive country known to exist centuries ago and later subsumed into Russia. Tartarians emerged from the cradle of civilization as descendants of Hyperborea, the first inhabitants of Earth, and some of them were 8 to 12 feet tall. Referenced in classic literature as an underworld, Tartarians were thought to be indigenous and possibly founded by Noah's sons. Their civilization harnessed zero-point energy from the ether. Glass structures, metal needles, and domed ceilings functioned to distribute the atmospheric energy to all. You're not going to find much that references this era, especially when researching through history books published by Rockefeller-owned presses. In the last few years, YouTube researchers such as John Levi and Martin Leidke have spent many hours bringing evidence of a civilization buried in the mud or existing in plain sight. All we need to do is look. Our guest is author Jamie Lee. His recent published book is titled The One World Tartarians, the greatest civilization ever to be erased from history. He's a retired Wall Street investor and graduate from the School of Business at San Diego State. He's authored many books, including Paradise Lost, The Great California Fire Chronicles. Jamie Lee, welcome to Another News.
Thank you for having me.
Jamie, on the show, guests such as Dr. Carmen Bolter, Peter Shampoo, Nicholas Mann, Professor Paulo Correa, and others respectively have discussed Egyptian civilizations, ley lines, and etheric energy, but it wasn't pulled together with a unifying topic. Well, here's a potential synthesis of these areas of knowledge and more. However, it's not easy to get information about Tartarian people because of the changing of names and purging the historical record of any reference. The gathering of information of late has been from researchers online such as John Levy and Martin Leidke, but there are several others. Would you please give listeners an overview of what Tartaria is and how you began to research it?
Since you have the background already in my research, this is my fourth book I've written. And this one so far has sold 900 copies since October of last year, so it seems to be a very, very timely topic for everyone. The title of the book is The One World Tartarians, the Greatest Civilization Ever to Be Erased from History. And basically what I say on the back cover is the Tartaria civilization encompassed most of the world we know today, from Russia to China, Africa to India, Australia, New Zealand to the North and South Americas. They've been swept from modern history books and were likely destroyed in the 19th, 20th centuries, along with their amazing buildings. There's many documents to also prove there are giants among us. The people of Tartaria are destroyed by the same advanced technology that controls our weather today, namely floods, firebombing, earthquakes, and directed energy weapons. They were a benevolent society, a one-world order, if you may, that used sacred geometrical designs, pipe organs, cotillion bells to help and heal and to achieve higher consciousness. Most of the technology and architecture we have today was Tartarian. The 18th and 19th centuries were the final book burning and removal from this historical knowledge. So it's 463 pages is my book, in both black and white and color. And you know, this is a story that is being fleshed out by, like you said, Martin Leakey and John Levy. But the one that really brought it home to me was a group of mathematicians from Moscow State University, from the Russian Academy of Sciences, the International Higher Education of Sciences, the Russian Academy, and by Anatoly Fomenko. and his partner, G.B. Nozovsky. And they wrote a 7-volume series titled History, Fiction, or Science. And they get into the heavy, heavy documentation that this whole cover-up was manufactured to hide the Tartarians from the great purging that occurred from the likely from the 1850s to the 1930s or so, and that there were could be over a billion people, Tartarians, all the way from starting with Genghis Khan and the Mongolians. And the whole Tartarians were both white and what they call copperhead people, which we call blacks, and they wanted to hide it. That's why we see a lot of the African statues, these Sphinx has the nose cut off, and a lot of the statues and the lips, so they hide the origins of the Tartarians, which we call Africans or Negroes. And they were not just, like I said, not just black, but they're also white. And there were giants that also lived among us. And I get into my book about how the Smithsonian was sued by the Supreme Court and ruled against them for destroying giants' bones to hide the fact that there were giants on Earth, to hide the fact that California was an island up until 1810 to 1812, to hide the fact that all these beautiful, elegant, magnificent buildings like Chartres and Notre Dame and all these incredible cathedrals that were supposedly built by horse and buggy with cement and pulling all these stones and these quarries from all over, there's no way it could be done the way the narrative that the official story, his story, that had been coming out since the 1850s could even begin to tell the story of the Tartarians, when you see the same exact domes, the same exact copper structures, the same exact designs in most of the state capitol buildings in the United States. Look at the Capitol building of Iowa. Look at the Capitol building in California. Look at the Capitol building in New York. They all have the same exact designs. Well, you go around the world, and they're all the same exact designs. You see these same designs with the two towers with the big points up on top of them. And then we learned about, as we'll get into more, about the Energy Star Force and the energy buildings that, like the Empire State Building and the Chrysler Building, that were our energy harvesting centers, because we've had free energy for well over 100 years. But the Tartarians used it for benevolence. The Tartarians were kind, and the women ran the show. It was the men who enforced and protected, and the women made the decisions of the tribe. And like in California, being an island up until 1810 to 1812, it was ruled by Queen Califia, and that's where the name California comes from. And she had griffins, and you'll see the sign of Tartarians, the flags, the many, many flags. They're griffin flags. And the griffins are an animal that's also the same as the phoenix, Scorpio, the bull, the lion, and the man. And so they were all everything. And they ruled in benevolence, and like in healing centers they have in Leifgarten, Germany, still to this day, they have over 400 acres that are resonant frequency devices. They have a Carillion tower with over, 44 bells, with one weighing 12,600 pounds, and they bring animals from all over the world to heal them, and it's still there today. So they created the Tartarians were world people, and then they ended up purging them once the technology was taken from them and used where it was for benevolence and healing and for traveling anywhere with free Wi-Fi anywhere you wanted to go in the world, to using the technology like they're doing today for directed energy weapons, for mud floods, earthquakes, and whatever they want to do with the technology. We can get into later why and who, but... Yeah, so this book and that started the Fomenko book, Science and Fiction, the 7-volume series, starts with the written history, and the written history goes back to only 1200. Most people don't know that. The Gilgamesh and the first writings. Well, the documents show it was only 1200. Jesus Christ, the Wall of Jericho, that was in Turkey, not Israel. Everything's a lie. You have to start over, a tabula rasa, and start over. So why was Moscow and St. Petersburg separated? Well, that's when the Romanovs began their march and began to take over the technology through the Jesuits, and they took over and started fleeing west because the Romanovs were taking over Russia. And this is when World War I occurred, and this is when they brought in the Bolshevik Revolution to get rid of, quote, the Tsars. No, it was to get rid of the Tartarians, and that's why they starved them to death. And that's why over 40 million people perished in Russia. And you'll see the Tartarian Empire was centered around Russia, and it covered most of Asia and most of Europe. And that's why the Great Wall was put up, to keep the Chinese from coming in to the Tartarian Empire. And that's a whole other story in itself. So the Tartarians were in Russia. They got purged by the Jesuits, who moved up and put Stalin and Lenin. They were all Jesuits. And they purged the Russians of 40 million people. We talk about the Holocaust of 6 million, which has now been reduced to 2 million, but they don't talk about the 40 million, at least, that were purged. So there's this whole history of the Tartarians, but they were also in the North America. What was the America before it was North, South, Central? What was it? What was America before it was divided up? It's a whole other subject in itself. So the whole Tartarians were all over the world. They could travel anywhere they wanted. They were able to use their minds. They had this is the Kali Yuga cycle, where in the dissension of time, we've gone through the age of the Gold Age to the Silver Age to the Bronze Age, which was the days of the ancient Greeks, the Egyptians. And then we went into the Iron Age, which is considered 500 years ago, the Dark Ages, because it was the most dense. And this is when the Vatican wrote all the stories and made up all the lies and came out with all their books and started the Gutenberg Press, so everybody would get the same information, started the whole public school system, so everybody would get programmed. Well, during the 1850s to the 1920s, they had to get rid of the Tartarians. So the Tartarians tried to resist, but they were eventually overcome, and they had great muds. I don't know if people have heard of the mud floods, but if you look at many buildings around the world, you'll see that there's a lower floors. You'll see the streets have floors that are like half full. Well, that's because there was huge liquefaction events that went on all around the world, as well as fires. We see everywhere there's fires before these huge events going on. In 1812, they had 6,000 earthquakes on the Mississippi River, where the Mississippi River was liquefied and the Mississippi ran backwards. And they said that you could hear the bells, the Liberty Bell ringing in Philadelphia and the bells ringing in New York from the 6,000 earthquakes. And then in 1812, I said that 1810 to 1812 or so, California was an island, and there was a huge flooding that went out. California coastline actually goes out. If you look on Google Maps, you can see the California coastline was over 40 miles farther out. That was flooded with the water that was flooded out of the Great Salt Lake. Why was it called the Great Salt Lake? Because it was salt, because it was ocean, just like the Salton Sea down by Los Angeles. And there's still ocean fossils there. And Great Salt Lake was the center capital of the United States, with the Great Salt Lake there until it flooded out. And then once the water flooded out, the island of California was no more. The gold was literally sitting on top of the Sierras, and people could literally go and pick up gold off the top of the ground. And that's why people came from China and all over the world. But that allowed the Jesuits to move out west and use the, quote, wagon trains to establish and take over the Tartarians. And as they did that, they separated one of the traditional things that you do when you want to reset history. And this is a topic we talk about, the Great Reset, because we're in the Great Reset, what they're calling the Fourth Industrial Devolution now, of the digitalization of humanity and all things, the Internet of all things, the humans of all things will be digitalized. Well, this was the previous Great Reset in 1900. And what they did was they took the children and they separated them from the parents. And if you look in my book, you'll look up foundling trains. And the foundling trains, and you're from the East Coast, they had over 250,000, not blacks, white children, Irish, Italians, 250,000 of them were put on foundling trains and shipped out to the Midwest to work on farms. Children were for sale. Where did 250,000 children come from in 1910, 1920? Well, they separated the parents away, and they put the parents in all the insane asylums. And I chronicle in my book the hundreds of insane asylums, massive buildings, huge crematories and cemeteries, where likely they took them all, and they got rid of them and separated the children. And then starting in the 1910s, 1920s, with the beginning of the rollout of the public education system, which I chronicle with the Rockefellers creating the public education system, when in 1910, with the Rockefeller, Guggenheim, J.P. Morgan, they all had the wealth, and so they didn't want to pay the taxes, so they created the NGOs, the non-government organizations we know as nonprofits today. And in 1900, there was only 20 nonprofits, and by 1920, there was over 2,000. And so they shielded their money they made from oil, from railroads, from real estate, and they bought up the Smithsonian Institute. They bought up the start of the Columbia Teaching University, Columbia Medical Schools. They ripped up all the electric trains with the United Motor Transportation Corp and ripped it all up. And then they changed the whole history when they started the public education system because they owned all the textbook companies. And we've been under this lie ever since then.
Jamie, thanks for that really important outline and overview of a certain timeline here. And it's disturbing to realize how a population, maybe a generation removed and subjected to enough propaganda, can easily disconnect itself from the cultural wisdom of their past. And John Levi said in one of his presentations that anything more than 1,000 years is destroyed. Although we're being told a reset is occurring now, I suspect there are many types of resets. And would you please talk about what a reset is and how many resets do you document in your book, The One World Tartarians?
Well, I mean, you got to define what a reset is, right? Are you resetting a country? Are you resetting a world? Are you resetting a mythology? Are you resetting, you know, what did the whole Christian, was that a reset? The whole Christianism from what they call paganism? You know, I'm doing this whole thing on the Washitas, which is a whole other subject, which were the native ancient ones that were here in the United States before they built pyramids in the United States, before they built them in Egypt. So that was one reset, the Washitas. Another reset is the Tartarians, who up to 100 years ago, you know, had a benevolent world. And all of a sudden, 100 years ago, that was no longer. And then another great reset was the 1200, when the Romanovs started taking over the power and started the elimination of the Tartarians through time. But really, the whole actual purging, as far as I can reset, is from 1850s to 1870s. And what that dovetails into is the story of the fallen angels from the King James Freemason Bible, written by a king, authored by Sir Francis Bacon, the founder of Freemasonry, who wrote the King James Bible. And so that, oh, there's only one life, you're never coming back. And so the whole game now in this great reset is to make life on Earth so hideous that you'll never want to come back here, and they can rule in hell rather than serve in heaven. And that's what Lucifer said, or Satan said, when he had a fight with Michael in heaven, and he was cast down in the fallen angels. And this dovetails with the Milton book written in the 1600s, Paradise Lost, better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. So we can chronicle the reset starting the 1850s to 1870s, as with Isaac Asimov, and all the science fiction writers came up, and they started all the stories about, you know, the round ball Earth spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, going 1,000 miles a second, and all that nonsense.
In Paradise Lost, there's a reference to Tartaria. They call it the underworld.
The Greeks called it, the Tartarians, the underworld. And if you look at Tartarian sauce, it's bitter. But then you have Tartars in Scotland, Tartar clothing and whatnot. You see references everywhere. But the Tartarian name, if you look up Tartaria, there's many towns, many cities. And then if you get into the United States, there's over 20 cities named Moscow. How is there 20 cities named Moscow in the United States? Why would that be? Because this used to be their empire. They used to, they had this area here. And they had trains, I chronicle, where railroads were here before the 1850s, the 1870s, where supposedly the pony wagon started. I just blow all of that up in my book. There's just the whole mythology of our modern history story, with horse and buggies building these elaborate, massive buildings and all these elaborate stairs. And then the other heating we talked about a little bit was how these buildings were heated. And you see these giant fireplaces and these huge mansions and cathedrals. Well, how did they heat the frickin' buildings? Well, it was ingenuity. They had cold air down below, so they dug under the ground, and they used the cold air, and then they used vents to bring the cold air up from the ground for air conditioning, and then they used rebar in the concrete, and they would heat up the rebar with Wi-Fi, and they could heat the homes, and then all you had to do was use an andiron in your fireplaces, and you could heat the whole room by heating up the rebar in the walls, just like we do in a fireplace. It was very simple. It was very elegant, and it worked everywhere. And then again, they were creating stuff with their minds. They were able to create mind into action. This is the advanced civilization we are heading back towards. And this is using our mental abilities to create physical manifestations. And there's some ways we can do that, but it's something that they had the knowledge of, and that knowledge has been suppressed and eliminated. And they had Wi-Fi technology back there. But it all gets back to like the 1200s and then the 1500s when they got rid of the moon calendar and brought in the Gregorian calendar in 1582, and then the Romanov army in 1868 took out Samarkand, the capital of the independent Tartary, in 1868. And then you see the World War I coming in right after that. But the capital that was known as the Hordean Tartary was known as the Great Horde. And this is why they call hoarding a bad thing, you know, because they take the name and they make it into a bad thing. So, yeah. And then here from my book, the Pugachev, the Romanovs got an opportunity to exile the convicts to cold Siberia. And this is called the Pugachev Rebellion, which is the same exact time frame as 1776 with the creation of USA Inc. You know, this was part of the whole cover up to what they do, the Romanovs and the Jesuits and the Vatican, is they will build over what the old ley lines were of what these beautiful areas were, and then they'll claim it. So these cathedrals that are gematria, sacred gematria, the cymatics of the windows, the way they're shaped, the type of colors they use on the floors and the sacred geometry, created this resonance, this frequency of healing resonance. And then they had copper in the domes with magnets, and then they had the towers up top because they got free energy from the sky. All they had to do was stick a grounding copper up to the sky, and they can get the voltage, and they bring it down, and they get the copper. And so that's why in California, when the California Gold Rush allegedly started with the 1849ers, there was all these cities like Copperopolis and the City of Copper, because they were making copper to make all the energy for the copper domes. That's why all the domes are all copper. So, you know, we've been lied to, and just revisiting and bringing this story back up. And then also, Tartaria still exists. In 1990, Tartistan announced its sovereignty with the declaration of the state sovereignty of the Tartar Soviet Socialist Republic. So they're still trying to reclaim their authenticity and their heritage. So this is in my book, page 11. This is from a document from the CIA released, and this was written in declassified. It was created in 1957 and declassified in 1998. August 9th, 1944, the Central Committee of Communist Party, Tartar's Provincial Committee, quote, to proceed to a scientific revision of the history of Tartaria, this is from the CIA document, to liquidate serious shortcomings and mistakes of a nationalistic character committed by individual writers and historians in dealing with Tartary history. In other words, Tartar history was to be rewritten, let us be frank, was to be falsified in order to eliminate references to great Russian aggressions and to hide the facts of the real course of the Tartar-Russian relations. I mean, in every Muslim area within the USSR, historians on orders of the Communist Party have rewritten history to distort the facts that the Russians always appear in good light.
What are your thoughts on the authenticity of that?
It's on the CIA document, CIA.gov. You can look it up yourself. Change the story. Here, we've made it up. You know, it's right there. Proof. I want proof. Well, the proof is looking out. You're going to the state capitals, like I said, going to the post offices, and look at the building. Get the book that I was talking to you the other night about, New York 1880. It's about a 350-page color book. Just get that book and look at the 50-story buildings with all the glass and all the concrete. Are you going to tell me horse and buggies built that? 1880, New York was already built out completely.
Why wouldn't you believe that these buildings were built by the people who came to the United States and worked and put these buildings together? There are quarries out along the Hudson that show that this very possibly could have happened. What are some primary indicators to you?
Well, one is the pictures. So the pictures show Wi-Fi without wires, telephones. The pictures show these incredible buildings. 40, 50, look at the Rockefeller's home. Look at the Astor's. Look at the the Vanderbilt's homes. Look at these incredible edifices that were built in the 1850s, to 1870s. So let's say, okay, we're going to go to Hudson. We're going to quarry. We're going to get our horse and buggies. We got to get the horses. Now we're going to bring 400 cubic board feet of lumber, and we're going to build all this concrete, and we're going to have to mix it, and we're going to have to use rebar, and we're going to have to use scaffold, and we have to have engineers, we're going to have contractors. I mean, wasn't the 1890s and 1880s in San Francisco and California, New York, and I mean, there was market crashes then too. Weren't people poor and starving? Wasn't that the story of New York? Wasn't that the story that everybody was just getting by? And all of a sudden, there's all these jobs building these massive buildings that we couldn't duplicate today? Are you kidding me? So here's more evidence. Martino Martini, translated from Latin, and no one can tell you what the word Latin even means, just like no one can tell you what the District of Columbia is a district of, or no one can tell you what date Washington, D.C. was even founded. Our ignorance is profound, so instead of questioning the truth and authenticity, we should be questioning everything to find truth. So here in this book, I quote from the Tartarians, the oldest of the Asage genus and many people 4,000 years Chinese army. This guy writes about the old Tartarians, and he documented this from a document from 1654. And then you got the Flamenco documents, that seven books, volumes of them documenting the historical narrative 1500, 1600. And here's where they changed the story, which not, you know, this is where we got to dial it in with Tartarian. Is the chronology was destroyed, as I said, by the Jesuits. The Jesuits are the Men in Black. The Men in Black, Georgetown University was created 6 months before Washington, D.C. The land was donated by John Carroll, a Jesuit. Georgetown University is a Jesuit school. Bill Clinton went there. Donald Trump went to Fordham, a Jesuit school. Obama's entire intelligence staff was Jesuits. Biden, Roman Catholic. Pence, Roman Catholic. Do you understand what's going on here, folks? They control the narrative. Roman Latin law. We're still under Roman Latin law from the 16th century. We're still owned by these guys. The Potomac River used to be called the Tiber. The White House is named after Andrew White, the first Jesuit that arrived on a boat called the Freemason into Jamestown. Again, documentation, documentation, I do it. So here we have the chronology of Jesuit Dionysius Pativius, 1632, by Joseph Justice Scaliger. And he's the one that started the rewriting of the Tartarians in 1583. So the archaeological dating, dendrochronological dating, paleographical dating, and the carbon dating are all confirming that the story was beginning to be changed back by this Joseph Justice Scaliger, a Jesuit, at that time. And you see pictures on pictures of the Jesuits going with the ancient ones and meeting with the ancient ones and being shown maps. And I get into the whole chronology of the story being told and changed from what was then to now in a list form. So if you get, I don't know what chapter this page this is, but in my book, and it's free on my PDF, you can get this book for free, but we get through the whole epoch of the 13th century when the beginning of the story was changed. And the Tartar state, the independent Tartar, you know, all of this is all documented. It's all here. You just have to do the homework, you know.
I'm open to discussing the research that's available and see where it goes. In addition to fire, some of the earlier researchers discuss mud fossils and mud floods, as you mentioned. My initial thinking, looking at small western towns from the early 20th century, partially dug out of the 10 or 15 feet of mud or more, could have been caused by mud and melting snow flowing from higher elevations. And that's the case out west in the late 1800s, as you've outlined. But now, learning about how frequency technology was used centuries ago, it was likely used to liquefy the ground, causing a mud flood effect. Would you tell listeners a little bit more about this type of reset?
Yeah, so in my chapter here, I'm looking up in the book on chapter 3, mud floods and liquefactions. I just go around the world and show, you know, the Sphinx. Well, remember the Sphinx was buried. Remember they say it was used to be water and it used to be up to the neck, and below that the Sphinx was buried by a big liquefaction event. And then I go through New York, I go through California, I go through China, I go through South America, and I show pictures of civilizations below the level of where we exist today. And you'll walk around in many towns wherever you go, and you'll see half-story buildings at your feet. Like I said, there's many, many different ways they did this. So the liquefaction event, here's another one. You go off the coast of Japan, and you go off of Alexandria, and 200 feet down, you see civilizations. You see pyramids. You see Cleopatra. You see Queen Otto Lake in China's Atlantis. You got all the cottage figures underneath there. There's whole civilizations that were 200 feet over water that are still there. You can go dive and see. And then, as I said, the Great Reset of 1811, 1812, there were 6,000 to 10,000 earthquakes in the Missouri. It was called the New Madrid Earthquake from 1811 to 1812. So in that time frame, 1810s, and also, I don't know if you're aware of this, but 1816, do you know in the East Coast they had a year without a summer where the temperature never got above 20 degrees and mass people starved because they couldn't grow food? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. It's just we don't get told history. In California, 1860, there was 70 inches of rain in 3 months. Sacramento was flooded with 10 feet of water, and the governor, Leland Stanford, had a rule from San Francisco because Sacramento was under 10 feet of water. I mean, come on. Where's all these stories? There was a volcano eruption, bigger, four times bigger than Krakatoa, and that's what they said caused the season without a year without a summer in New York in the East Coast. Here in 1811, a bright comet appeared in the skies. It was named Napoleon's Comet. Last time it appeared was 3,600 years before. It caused a solar eclipse in 1806. So were they able to manage the weather back then? Were they able to take it all and wipe out the people with all these type of mud flood events, with the Wi-Fi, with the earthquakes, like they're doing today?
When you're saying Wi-Fi, you're meaning wireless or directed energy? It's not Wi-Fi for your phone necessarily. It's a version of that, I suppose, maybe scaled up. I'm not sure. But it's more about directed energy, energy with instructions, of course, weaponized. It's fascinating to look at those images, Jamie, of the buildings that are partially, maybe half of a floor dug out from its base, and you see another floor and half a window and a door. That must have piqued your interest early on when you started looking into this.
It did circumstantially, because I already knew a lot of Martin Leakey and John Levy had already done a lot of the mud flood, so I was just familiar. And then when I'd see the buildings when I'd walk around cities and stuff, oh yeah, now it makes sense. It's like, you know, it's like you don't travel to see new places; you see the same places with a new set of eyes. You know that saying?
Yes.
That's what I'm looking at. I was just looking, and then when I got that book, New York 1880, which I can't recommend enough, you'll just know that there's no way. There's just no way they could have had these buildings all in place by 1880. It's just the story makes no sense just on that one book alone. But then when you go through my book and I chronicle all the different places, I chronicle seven. The Freemasons were in San Francisco in 1848. In 1893, they had a huge fair with over 2 million people. And then in 1906, we had a massive earthquake. And in 1915, we had 680 acres, and we held a huge world fair where they built a big industrial building. This was the old Tartarian building, but they said it was new, where Henry Ford built 4,400 cars in a production line in 1915. Now get this. The whole industrial car production line did not begin until 1914. And you're telling me by 1915 he had this building where they actually flew a biplane. It was so big, inside the industrial park in San Francisco on Crissy Field, and they made 4,400 cars there. Luther Burbank came out. Thomas Edison came out. The first transcontinental. They put the Liberty Bell out. They had 60 countries come in. They had 9 million visitors to San Francisco in 1915. 9 years after the San Francisco earthquake, which burned and leveled everything, this is their story. This is their official story. And they didn't have any bridges. There was not the Bay Bridge. There was not the Golden Gate Bridge. So how did everybody get here? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then San Diego was supposed to celebrate the Pan-Pacific, opening of the Pan-Pacific. In 1915, they had the same huge, similar exhibition in San Diego.
I see some of this in your book titled One World Tartarians. What do you suspect had really happened or is really going on with a place like San Francisco with all of these inconsistencies through history that you mentioned?
Well, San Francisco was the capital. I don't like to use the word capital. I don't use the word empire anymore. But that was the Tartarian base for the ancient America. So San Francisco was their home base. So what they always take out the home bases. And so, as I showed, the Freemasons were there in San Francisco in 1849, and then they took over all the area there, and I show railroads that were going all the way up to Canada that were already in place by 1860s. I mean, how do you get railroads up to Washington and Oregon when you just got a wagon train over the Sierras with the 1849ers looking for gold? And then all these insane asylums that are all over California. I don't forget in the Jap chapter about the insane asylums of California. Santa Clara University, the Jesuit Center of California, that used to be an insane asylum. The insane asylum in Napa out here in Napa, California, was over on 50 acres, over 500 rooms, and they had a railroad underneath it. And then they had all the way up and down the coast. They had them in Stockton. They had them in, up here in Mendocino. I mean, this is in the 1860s and 1870s. They had these massive insane asylums. Oh, they said it was because so many people coming out for the 49ers for gold were turning insane. And then they had all these children's foster places as well. You just connect the dots. And you see the pictures that I'm bringing up here and looking at myself from the 1855s in Los Angeles with these 20-story buildings with these towers on top and these wireless telephone poles. So, yeah, so Wi-Fi, I mean Wi-Fi, directed energy weapons are being used, were being used. Technology's not new. It's just been hidden. Just like, you know, how long have we had the combustion engine car? 100 years. They haven't improved on it, right? Well, we've known that Nikola Tesla had free energy 100 years ago, right? Now, are we using free energy today? No. Oh, we're going to switch to batteries because they don't want to give it to us. These are the same people in power that have been in power for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. And the original Moors, like the original Egyptians, were black Africans. And so that's why they hid the history of the blacks, because the black Moor Tartarians were the ruling culture of the time, and the benevolence ruled by the women. So the whites came on, and then the white religious fanatics took over and got the technology, and then we've been on this path ever since. And now they're using the technology against us because, as the Georgia Guidestones say, there's just 95% too many people on the earth. We got to leave room for nature. So, you know, we put it in stone. I flew to there at Emberton County, Georgia, to see for myself the American Stonehenge, which everybody should do. And in 8 different languages, the first commandment says, keep the population at 500 million people. Well, what are they telling you? Mm-hmm. They're telling you they're going to great reset it again.
And getting back to California for a minute, you did cover interesting history about that state and the Amazons and what the land mass looked like in older maps. Would you talk about this again and talk about this chapter and how it fits into the research you're doing?
Sure. Well, I mean, I grew up in California and stuff, and I've been to Christie Field 100 times, and I never knew any of this stuff. I mean, Christie Field is a grass field, and they used to have 684 acres of this incredible exhibition, and then they tore it down with it. And you'll hear there's hundreds of exhibitions that went on all around the world during this time, and then they all tore them down. Chicago exhibition, France exhibition. But in San Francisco, the story is in the Stanford Library, there's 250 maps of California when it was an island. I mean, and then the Mark Hopkins Hotel, a very high-end hotel, has a picture of Queen Califia, a mural of Queen Califia and her Amazons in the room of the Dons at the Mark Hopkins Hotel. They have a picture of her in there. The name California traces its origins about an island full of gold run by black women who fed men to their pet griffins. Like other Amazonian legends, the island California was filled with strong, self-sufficient women who solicited male attention completely on their own terms. A Moorish emperor, Abu Bakari, took 1,000 ships to the New World in 1300s and then brought, I get into the whole history of Queen Califia, but she's also reinforces the fact when Cortez named this place California, he had 300 black people with him. And throughout the whole Spanish-Mexican War, 40% of the population was black. Who knew that? These were the Moors. These were the people that were here called the Washitas, and that's where the name Washington, they just took it over. So although some early maps showed California in relation, the theory came in 1701 when the Jesuit explorer, here we go again, Eusebio Quino, crossed the Bahama Peninsula and with a telescope saw that it was part of the continent. This is the Jesuits writing that it was an island in 1701 by the Jesuits themselves. Over 250 maps in the 17th and 18th century show California's island. The definitive catalog of California's an island map is the mapping of California by McLaughlin. So he gets into this whole thing about, you know, when California was an island up until 100 years ago, and then we had to have some type of event when it stopped becoming an island. And this is where I'm kind of taking it to the next level, and I'm postulating that the Great Salt Lake was the division, and Zion, why is Utah? Why do we have Moab? Why do we have Zion? Why do we have these incredible buildings where the Mormons, who are literally Jesuit puppets, have taken over there? And these incredible buildings that were there, and as Martin John Levy gets into, you know, he's from that area, and he shows it's ridiculous to think in 1838 horse and buggies they built these things. I mean, are you kidding me? So there had to be some kind of massive event like the flooding of the Lake of Wyoming that flooded down through, and then the water receded out, and then the land filled in, and the California's coastline rose up, and that all of this in the same time period as the Madeira earthquakes of the Mississippi, a year without a summer in the East Coast, it all dovetails within this 1805 to 1816, 1818 time period. So that would be labeled the Great Reset, and California was an island, and it was ruled by women, and it was peaceful, and they had just benevolence and abundance, and then the Jesuits came in and put all their missions in and took over all the buildings that were already here. That's the story I'm at right now with it.
Yeah, very interesting about the civilizations ruled by women. Dr. Carmen Bolter, in her research, had identified several dynasties, Egyptian dynasties, ruled by women. Getting back to the remnants of another civilization destroyed or flattened or intentionally obfuscated, John Levy recently found the ruins of a star fort in New Mexico, barely traced on the surface near Fort Union National Monument. I've seen two of these structures not destroyed, but didn't realize how many exist. Would you tell listeners about star forts, please?
All right, so again, a new subject for most of us, right? How come we don't know about star forts? Well, there's star forts in China, Croatia, Cuba, Belarus, Azores, Angola, Iran, Italy, Japan, Kazakhstan, Kenya, Latvia, Lithuania, Malta, Mexico, Morocco, Netherlands, Norway, Pakistan, Philippines, Portugal, Puerto Rico, Romania, Russia, Slovakia, South of Africa, Spain, Sri Lanka, Suriname, Turkey, United Kingdom, USA, Uruguay, Venezuela, just to name a few. There's over 319 star forts that have been chronicled, and more being found every day, with many of them destroyed. So what are star forts, star cities? Well, they're shaped like a star. They're usually surrounded by water. And the five key elements are that the remains of a large lake, they use the water for ionization, right? What's the Earth? It's a battery. So you got the North Pole, the negative charge. You got the Arctic Circle, the positive charge. You got the salt water, the catalyst to create the alternating energy. They had stone bridges, stone streets, and they had baths. And they're part of leveraged water to produce a magnetic frequency that was absorbed by the design of the structure and emitted itself back into the environment as breathable air. So they took the water, they created the sacred geometry of the designs of the star forts using the material, just like they used travertine or limestone on the pyramids, to create these harmonic frequencies. And I show with the somatics, the oscilloscope, the design, if you take a somatics, which is sound frequency, and you put a tuning sound underneath it and put some sand on, you'll get the same star patterns as the star forts, because the somatics, geometrical shapes of the magnetic fields, when exposed to vibrations, create the perfect healing vibration sounds. Just like that guy Emoto, Dr. Emoto, who used water and crystallized it by setting intentions. Right. Yeah, and so here in California, or here in the United States, built in the 1850s again, here in the 1850s, 1870s, 1880s, that's when they built everything out. That's when everything got built. 71 star forts alone, Fort Washington, Fort Frederick, Washington, D.C., Fort Pickens, Fort Miffin, Fort Pike, Fort Taylor, Fort Norfolk. So they took over them, and they destroyed much of them. I show in my book, I took pictures of them all, and they're all just in the sacred geometrical forms. They're all using Earth's energy and sky energy and creating these energy vortexes. That the Statue of Liberty is an 11-pointed star that's called a hendecagram. It represents the clip-off, which literally means peels, shells, or husks of the tree of knowledge. So the Statue of Liberty is on a star fort itself. And so all these sacred buildings were their designs, these cities were all designed for healing, for creating perfect air and creating these environments for health and wealth and well-being. And then, you know, in France, I got all these pictures of them all over the world. They're elegant. They're beautiful. It's just amazing that I just want to do a tour of the Star Forts. But they're all designed very similar in design for these purposes of sacred geometry, for these purposes of higher consciousness. And then I talked about the healing centers, too. I mean, they were benevolent. They were very kind, and they were beautiful. And then these gardens, you go into England, and you see all these incredible gardens with their hexagons and octagons and pentagons and polygons and rectangles. What are those all about? Those are all sacred geometry gardens as well. They're all about healing and helping and raising our conscious vibration. Well, what do they do today? They put fluoride in our water to calcify our pineal glands. And everything's all the Wi-Fi they're doing now is taking us down to a lower level so we can't ascend because they don't want us to have the power. And so this is all this dehumanizing they're doing with all this Wi-Fi is all about making us, you know, into these transhumans in the digital world they're presenting. And then the other thing in these cathedrals, which I don't know if you saw in my book, is these Opus healing pipe organs. And I chronicle over 40 pipe organs, these massive, massive pipe organs in these buildings that were all tuned at the sacred healing tone of 528 megahertz. It's all sacred geometry, and they're all elegant and beautiful. And it was all about, you know, elegance, design, simplicity, one love. I mean, back then they could have chose to hurt each other, they could have chose harm, they could have chose war, they could have chose capitalist systems. No, they choose love. They choose caring. They choose helping animals and pets, and they dressed elegantly. I mean, look at all the statues and all these buildings. They're all up, all way up on the, you know, fourth, fifth, eighth stories of these incredible statues, of these elegant designs. We couldn't do that today.
A lot of the researchers in this realm say, we can't build these buildings today. Is that true?
Well, I mean, you could, but it would be an astronomical cost. But when you think about that, you know, how do you lift a 12,600-pound bell to heal a, for a healing? It's still there today. You can still see it today. How could you literally lift a 6-ton bell? And then you got 44 bells that are all lined up in a harmonic frequency today for a certain sound resonance to heal animals. They would bring elephants from around the world to heal these healing centers because they had free energy. All they did was tap in the water and put a connecting device up in the sky, and they could sail anywhere in the world they wanted. And the other thing that's been hidden is balloons. They used to travel by balloons everywhere, and that's why, like, the Empire State Building was a balloon harvesting device. So the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, all these buildings with these big pointed antennas on the top were all energy harvesting centers. So all they did was get up in the building, climb into the balloon, and they could harvest all the free energy they want and go in a balloon anywhere they wanted. And that's why all the pictures you see of the past have the skies all blotted out. You never see clouds in any of the old pictures because they hid all the balloons that were up there, is my theory.
That gets into the Aero Club. Did you discuss the
Aero... homework. I like that.
Can you make some connections there with the Aero Club and Tartarians? Is there a connection?
Well, I mean, you're talking about, and this is something I just found in my research. It's like it just came to me, and I don't know anybody else that's really, let me bring this up, discussed this, but I do have their book they wrote about it. And this was a flying club, the Sonera Aero Clubs of California Airships in 1852. So they have all these articles. Oops, I just lost it. Hang on. All right, Sonera Aero Clubs of 1852 and... So they have newspapers. This was the San Francisco Chronicle, 1896, November 19th. One night, 1858, a man named Gustavus Freyre stood at the Aero Guarda airship surrounded by a hamster wheel cage that protects its passengers upon landfall. Highly educated mechanic. There were hundreds of sightings and thousands of witnesses. Over 1,200 newspapers reported in 41 states and 6 Canadian provinces of these aero balloons flying over them. 400 papers in 41 states talking about balloons flying over them. And then I get into all the flying machines and the refueling stations and how these aero clubs were all around the world. And you could literally get on a balloon and fly anywhere. And they harness the ether by like I said, you know, connecting the on the water. The water is ionized, so they found a way to connect the water, and then were able to light ships and power ships with free energy. And they've just been hiding it from us ever since then. But the Aero Club was proof that in the 1850s, 1860s in California, there were balloons being flown around, reported by, 400 newspapers in 41 states. Well, I need to get those newspapers. I need to bring that up and show the documentation, you know, of all the thousands of witnesses that said there were balloons flying everywhere. And that totally disproves the whole 49ers, 1849 story, you know.
I found out about the Aero Club from a friend in Ithaca. His name's Steve White. He's also deep into the Tartarian lore, and we talk about this. So this is how I began to be interested in this. Otherwise, I think it would have taken me a while to stumble upon it.
There were also compressed air cars and trains. They ran on compressed air back in the 1900. As early as 1687, they were running on compressed air. And I got articles of advertisements of large tanks on the sides of the cars pumped with crisp air, starting air compressors driven by an auxiliary motor, 4,800-pound storage battery, then operated. These are how the trains ran. They could run 250 miles on one car of compressed air. How much does air cost? Right? Yeah, I got all these pictures of these trains and these cars, and here's an advertisement for advantages of the airmobile. You could get a five. This was in 1898. This is an ad from 1898. Rotary Air Brake Company, 601 Higgins Building, Los Angeles, California. You can get a five-passenger roadster-type car, the safest car in the world, simplest car in the world, fastest car in the world, lightest car in the world, smoothest riding, most marvelous hill climber of the world, first scientific design car in the world, given proper distribution, most luxurious and satisfactory car in the world for $1,000. For $2,000, you could get a seven-passenger. 1898. California, the roads were already in place. And it goes over how you ran it, the compressed air motor car, yada yada. I've got pictures on it as well. So anyway, so that again, the technology, we're just being spoon-fed the technology when they're ready to give it to us.
Imagine what those Freemason libraries might contain about Tartaria.
Well, I mean, history is written by the victors, right? Wouldn't you want to go into the Vatican and find out what all that stuff is about under there? You know, the Nag Hammadis and the Dead Sea Scrolls, they've been hidden and everything. So, I mean, I've been into the Jesuits' domain and the Freemasons. On, you can go there sometimes and look at their libraries. I went into one in Waco, Texas, and they had a 10-story library of books. And I'm sure they contain, you know, a lot of this information. But what are it's very important that we understand what's happening now with history is they're eliminating it, and they're getting ready for the Great Reset. Can you go to a library right now? Are the schools open where the libraries are accessible? No. We can't get any of the information we used to get. So they can recite history any way they want once they eliminate the history that we knew. And that's why the Internet, that's why it's so critical that people own books. Please, people, buy books. Watch the movie Fahrenheit 451. It talks about Benjamin Franklin being the first fireman, and the first firemen were burning books, you know, and the burning books became that we could reset the knowledge once every book was destroyed. So owning books, if you turn off the Internet, where's your knowledge if you don't have books? So this is something we all need to wake up to, and that's why I'm writing books now, so we have something physical. And then if we don't have the books, the only ones that are going to have the true knowledge is going to be the storytellers and going to be the guys that own the knowledge that are hiding it from us. We'll tell the story of the next generation, whatever they want to tell them.
And we're heading in that direction. It's not so different than what's going on today with climate engineering and coordinated effort amid agencies and governors to shut down economies without revealing supporting health data. The determined long game to obfuscate research showing the Tartarian networks and connections through art and architecture is, I think, coming to a close here. The information slowly getting out there and piquing the interest of those who know we're being lied to about almost everything. Jamie Lee has been our guest. His book is titled The One World Tartaria, the Greatest Civilization Ever to Be Erased from History. Jamie, if listeners want to find out more about your work and to get this book, how would they do that?
I offer the book free. My YouTube channel has been shut down 8 times, so I'm on a Plain Truth 9, APLANETRUTH, a Plain Truth 9 on YouTube. And if you go to a plaintruth.info, and I'll send it to you, so if, I don't know if you can put them in the show notes or not, I offer my four books, one on geoengineering, one on flat earth, one on the California fires, the genocide that's occurred here, and then this last one on Tartarian. I offer these books for free on PDF, but they're also on Amazon. So far, I've had the book come out, and I haven't had one person of 463 pages, not one, has come and proven that I'm inaccurate on anything yet. So I'm not saying I'm right, because we're all conjecturing. We're just connecting dots. But I think I make a really, really strong case that there was a major, major cover-up of this incredible civilization that was one world. And there were giants, there was blacks, there was whites, there was benevolence, there was travel, world travel for free, there were about healing centers, there were about the women in power, the men in support. And that's where we have to come back to, is the nurture nature and the loving and the caring for all. And that's a feminine trait. That's the attraction principle. And that's ISIS. That's why they want to destroy ISIS. It's all paternal. It's all this male 5,000-year warring that's coming to an end. And the end is now. And they're trying to create it in this digital world to, like you said, about the creation of this nonsensical, deadly disease where less people died last year than the year before, and nobody died of the flu. And, you know, it's just this whole takeover of people's minds going on. And it's absolutely just going to continue on until we all wake up. So it's our job to bring this truth to wherever we can. And, you know, I appreciate you doing your show for 10 years and speaking to all the people you're speaking, so we all can speak more informed about, you know, possibilities and truths that we're not being told.
Well, Jamie Lee, this was a fascinating interview, and hope to have you back soon.
Anytime. We can get into it. You and I can go on a bunch of subjects, so you pick it and we'll do it, okay?
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.